Hey guys, and welcome back to Willis Outdoor Adventures Podcast. I'm here with my dad.
Hey.
Caleb.
How's it going?
And a new guest, my cousin Judah.
Hey, how's it going?
Today we're going to talk about kind of a bike trip thing that we did this spring, and a lot of other people joined for, and it was just quite the adventure. And I don't know how this all came about, but it ended up being really fun, so I've been looking forward to talking about this for a while.
Well, that was my question. Whose idea was this? How did this come about? Do you remember?
I actually think it was your idea.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Yeah, because, let's see. How did this work out? We kind of had like a challenge in 2022 with that 50-mile run. And then afterwards, you were kind of wanting there to be another challenge for 2023. And I think you mentioned some sort of bike challenge. And then you mentioned the Katy Trail and doing it in a certain amount of time. And then from there, you know, that kind of got the ball rolling. And that's all it really took.
Kind of got our wheel spinning, you could say.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, sorry. That was my alarm. Let me see if I can turn that off. But yeah, anyway, it didn't take much to get the momentum going. And Dad, I think you said, let's see if we can ride the Katy Trail in 48 hours or less.
Was that me or you? I think you came up with that goal.
I'm almost certain that was you.
Okay, well, your memory's better than mine.
Caleb, you probably weren't there, but do you remember?
Tim, I think you came up with the deadline, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 48 hours. 48 hours was your idea, Tim.
I think that's right.
Okay, I guess 48 hours was my idea. But anyway, how long is the Katy Trail, guys? And just give the backstory for like where that is for people who don't know.
Caleb, go ahead.
So I think it runs from Clinton, Missouri, which is like right outside of Sedalia, kind of, which is on the western side of the state. And then it goes to like St. Charles, basically. And it's like 237, is it 47 or 37, Tim?
I think it's, I was always saying 240, so.
Yeah, that's what I've read, 240 miles.
Yeah. And so, yeah, basically just runs east to west across the entire state almost, so.
Yeah, and it's pretty flat.
Oh, yeah. It used to be an old railroad, so like, completely flat. It's all gravel.
And you've done it before, yeah, Caleb? The whole thing?
Yeah, I forget when it was, but I think it was the year before we did it. So I guess last year. But I did it last year, like, solo, and it took a weekend, so.
Okay, yeah. And Judah, I mean, you guys live pretty close to the Katy Trail, so you've done a section of it, but you had never done the whole thing, right, Judah?
No, I've never done the full thing.
Okay. And you're kind of into biking, but I would say a little bit more like mountain biking. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I mostly mountain bike. I don't really.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, I guess how it went from there, I don't even know how it went from there, but we kind of opened it up to whoever wanted to join. I think I even said on one of the podcasts, if you want to join, you can, and a couple people joined from that. I think one of the big problems or issues is I'm not like a big planner. You know, I got the Katy Trail in 48 hours or less. That's like, that's the plan, you know, that's it. So.
So we had a lot of people interested in participating in the ride. And we also had a lot of people asking questions like, well, where's it going to start and when and where and how? And there weren't too many answers, but there was a lot of interest. In fact, we did this in May of 2023. How many people actually participated in the ride, would you guys say?
I think we
had at least like a dozen.
I think we started with 12 guys, yeah.
Or yeah.
11 guys and Mary Beth, yeah.
Yeah. That was so fun getting started. We all drove to Clinton in the morning. And how many vehicles? I don't know, 3 or 4 vehicles.
I have no idea. Just getting there was like kind of a challenge because
it was all weird and everyone was concerned because like everyone has to drop their bikes off somewhere, and then no one knew how long they were going to last on the ride. So they were like trying to figure out who would pick them up and like where, and it was just a big nightmare getting everyone just started, to be honest.
Now, fortunately, Tammy offered to be a stag wagon support, and she was driving our truck, and she was a huge part of this endeavor, wasn't she?
Oh my goodness, yes. So, you know, in the few weeks leading up to this, Mom kept saying, she was like, well, I'll drive the truck and be like the sag wagon for you guys. And I repeatedly was like, Mom, you don't have to do that. That's really nice. But, you know, if you want to just join us, like, you don't have to feel any obligation to, you know, be a support vehicle for us. Like, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll just bring food on the bikes and we'll be fine. But oh my goodness, am I glad she rode alongside us in the truck. I mean, it was not very long before her services were, oh man.
Yeah, a necessity.
Yeah, honestly, we would have been hurting without her support. She would give us drinks, and she would give people rides here and there, and there was flat tires, I think. And she just helped a lot. Yeah.
Well, and people were dropping too, so I guess we'll mention, you know, several of the people who were in this ride were from Columbia, which was around the halfway point, around the midway point of the ride. So it's kind of a natural place for you to say, like, if you're going to have an opportunity to drop out, it's a really nice opportunity. So some people, I think, even started with no intentions of finishing. Boy, I wonder if we could name everybody who was on that ride. I don't know, but there was 11 guys in Mary Beth, like I say, and I think a couple guys were just like, hey, I'm just in it for one day, and it was fun because we had a whole variety of different, I guess, I don't know if you'd say skill levels or experience levels is better, on a bike. You know, we had people who they'd only ridden 20 miles in a day before, and then we had, you know, a couple people who were fairly experienced on a bike. And so it was just fun that we could all get together and ride in mostly a single file line. And, you know, we weren't pushing the pace too hard, but it honestly didn't take very long for us to get a little strung out at all.
Like, yeah, it was kind of funny because, like, at the start, I don't know, it almost felt like we immediately got separated because everyone was going at different paces, but...
Yeah.
The first like 10 miles was the funnest, I feel like.
Yeah, of course. Oh man. Yeah, I just remember like we're like a mile or two in, and I'm like making jokes about like, oh, I wonder how long before somebody drops or something. And Amos, who has the farthest he's ever ridden is 20 miles in a day. And he didn't do any training to get ready for this. Apparently, he started hurting pretty early as far as, you know, we're setting about a maybe 12-mile-per-hour pace, and that was a little bit quick for him. And so, and he didn't have the best bike, and I felt bad for him because he was just a little bit underprepared, and it wasn't but about 3 miles in until he started falling off the pace. And so I think I went back to look for him or something. And it took us quite a while to catch back up to the group, but we did.
The trail also was slightly uphill, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then it ended up being that he fell off the pace a couple other times. He actually did an incredible job, especially I was really encouraged seeing Amos out there even just showing up. And he ended up doing an incredible job throughout the day and blew his 20 miles out of the water, but he did fall off the pace a few other times, and it finally ended up being after one time he got far enough back from the group, I basically had to tell him, hey man, like, I'm gonna have to, you know, stick with the group for the rest of the time. And so he ended up riding with Mom. What he would do is he would kind of leapfrog a section. He would ride with Mom for, you know, 10 miles of us riding, and then he would hop back on with us, which worked really nice because it gave him a little rest. But then he also could stay joined with us.
I'll say this, though. When I saw that Amos was struggling just a little and not keeping up with the others as much, I thought to myself, he's not going to last long. But like you say, Tim, he hung in there. I mean, he was persevering, and he just kept pushing, and he ended up riding, I don't know how many miles, but he did really well that day.
I think he did. He ended up doing just over 70 miles on the bike, which is incredible. So, yeah, I was really proud of him and happy that he stuck it out. And the fun thing about this little trip is I just feel like, you know, it was a attainable goal that everybody who was there, you know, they could set their own goals inside of that and be able to meet those. And, you know, everybody was pushing themselves a little bit, but it wasn't like a challenge that was so insane that nobody would want to show up. So it was fun doing that with some other people. I don't know. Caleb, Judah, would you guys agree with that assessment?
I think so, for sure. Like, it was definitely fun starting and, like, riding with everyone, and you didn't really know who was trying to go, like, the full way or whatever. But, I mean, it was basically fun for everyone, I think. And, like, everyone had their own goals. Like, what was Mary Beth's goal? Like, 50 or something?
No, I think she wanted to do 100, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right. And she ended up making her goal, too. And, like, it was just fun, like, when we got to our halfway point or what was the place we stopped for, like, dinner or whatever?
Yeah, so we ended up stopping at Cooper's Landing, which is really close to Columbia, kind of down the hill from Columbia. So,
yeah, that's where some people split off, right?
Who did we lose there? We lost Amos there. Oh, you're talking about dinner. Oh, okay, yeah, like our second dinner. Yeah, we stopped in Jeff City for a second.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway.
So I guess we'll talk a little bit about the day before we get into that. But, well, I don't know what all we have to say about the day. The riding was pretty fun. What do you guys?
It was a beautiful day. Oh. Just gorgeous day. Hey, I have a quick question. Judah, when we started that ride, what were you thinking? What was going on in your mind?
So I was like, I was on a mountain bike, which wasn't ideal. And I hadn't been training the most, but I really wanted to try and, like, do the whole thing. But I didn't know what pace they were going to – because, you know, Caleb and Tim, they just try and, like, book it as fast as they can. So I didn't know if I could keep the pace, but I sure wanted to try and do the whole thing with them.
Was there a point, Judah, at which you thought, oh, boy, I don't know if I can do this? Or were you pretty confident once we got started?
Yeah, I'd say the first, like, 40 miles were my hardest because we didn't stop that much for food or water. So I was cramping really bad and definitely crossed my mind to quit. But as soon as we took breaks and I got food and water, I started feeling better.
I didn't even know you were cramping. You didn't say a word about that. Not me, anyway.
Dude, I remember it. So it was coming into Roachport. That was a tough section for Judah, I feel like. Because, Judah, you kind of got a flat tire, too, yeah?
Kinda.
Yeah. I was riding out on a flat for, like, 2 miles.
Yeah.
And, every pedal, I would feel like excruciating pain in my legs.
Oh, that's terrible. But yeah, I remember, so rolling into the Roachport, I mean, I guess you'd kind of call it an aid station almost because Mom was down there with the truck. I was like, all right, I guess my number one priority is getting Judah back to where he needs to be, because you were struggling those last few miles with that flat tire, and I think you were a little low on fluids and electrolytes and stuff, so you were kind of like just falling apart a tiny bit, and I was like, oh boy, I think we might be losing Judah. and that was about the mile 70, I think, somewhere in that range. And so when we got down into Roachport, I was like, Mom, I need a Gatorade for Judah, like pronto, you know? So I got you a Gatorade, and we were like filling your tire up, and you got your tire going and stuff. And after that, though, you seem to bounce back, like, quick. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, food and water definitely helped a ton.
It's crazy how much that can make a difference.
Yeah. The first 40 miles or 70, we kind of just, like, didn't stop, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And that was rough.
Yeah.
For me. Okay.
Yeah, and there was other people who were struggling too. Honestly, your dad, his knee was hurting him, so he ended up dropping out maybe around mile 50, I would say, somewhere in that range, and riding with mom quite a bit in the truck. But yeah,
Aaron took a couple breaks, didn't he?
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Uncle Mark, yeah, he rode in the truck for a little bit, but he actually did great too. I was super happy that he showed up. And
like, oh, yeah.
The way that this whole weekend panned out, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. The way that the whole weekend panned out, though, was super cool, and I'm super glad it panned out as good as it did. But I do have some regrets, and like in the future, I want to have another one of these trips that's like less of a challenge and more of just like guys having fun, you know. Just we don't have a time schedule at all. We're just basically bike touring, whether it's the Katy Trail or some other trail. I want to do something like that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
That way it's enjoyable for everybody. And I think it was, but you know, there was a little bit of type 2 fun going on.
Right.
Okay, what else about the day? We rolled into Roachport. In Roachport, somewhere in this range, Beck actually linked up with us and rode with us for a little bit, and Beth Miners rode with us for a little bit too. So it was fun having a couple other people able to ride, like join us just for a little section. I think that was pretty cool.
I'll say this, we were blessed with beautiful weather. It was a beautiful time of year too. And if listeners have never been along the Katy Trail, it's just such a beautiful trail. It's kind of covered by trees in much of the sections, and it was just a gorgeous spring day.
Yeah, and very few negative incidents throughout the day. I remember Aaron Walker, though, wrecked at one point. I think he was showboating or trying to slap Rylan on the butt or something and fell off the bike. And that kind of gives you an idea of the vibe for at least the first half of the day. It was pretty fun. Everybody, dude, oh my gosh, Caleb, you are an absolute menace.
Oh, no.
Do you remember that? Oh, the first...
just trying to, like, push you over or something.
Yeah, the first, like, 50 miles of the trail, you were just goofing around and, like, trying to run me off the trail, but not actually, you know.
I was having fun. Oh, I was just glad to be out there with everyone and just mess around. It was fun.
Dude, it was so much fun. And then, Judah, I have a video of you doing, like, a wheelie for, gosh, I don't know how far. Hundreds of yards.
Another goal I set was I wanted to do a mile-long wheelie, but I don't think I got that on that.
Well, I remember trying my wheelie, and, like, I had a bunch of crap on the back, so my bike instantly tried to backflip it. I ended up having to run to catch up with my bike, but
that's hilarious. Yeah.
How many total flat tires do we have?
I think two.
And it was me and you, right, Judah?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
you know, for that many miles and that many people, that's not really too bad at all.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No, that's not bad at all, yeah. So anyway, we rolled into Cooper's Landing, which is, you know, a little bit below Columbia there. And that was around mile 100, because I think that's where Mary Beth stopped. So she made her goal, which was actually super cool. The farthest she'd rode in a day before that was probably about 35 miles, so she almost tripled that.
And can I just interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
If I was impressed with anybody, it was Mary Beth. I could not believe how strong she was. She never showed sign of weakness or complain. I mean, she just seemed to pedal like it was nothing. And when she got to Cooper's Landing, I heard her say, oh, I might keep going. I feel good. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I think she was super happy to have, like, achieved her goal of 100 miles and super proud of that. But I think when she did it, she was like, that really wasn't that bad. Maybe I should keep going with these guys, you know? But she didn't. She stopped there, which I'm kind of glad she did for, you know, we'll get into that why in a second.
Well, it was kind of just, it was interesting to see how the day played out, because, like, everyone was kind of, like, slowly dropping, and it was going to be interesting to see who all was going to be left, basically, at the end of the day. So it was just kind of fun watching that progress, to be honest.
Yeah.
Now, remind me, I think the plan originally was to to spend the night at Jeff City. Is that right? Were we trying to make it to Jefferson City?
Yes. So yes. I wanted to eat like a mini dinner at Cooper's. Whoever wanted to get something at the food truck could. There was a food truck with some music down there and stuff. And then keep going to Jeff City. There's a pavilion there. And Phil, who was riding with us, his girlfriend Sam actually made food, and she was going to bring it to meet us there in Jeff City. So as many people as could make it to Jeff City were trying to.
And we did eat a bite at Cooper's Landing. Is that right, most of us, or no?
I think so. Did you guys? Yeah. Did you guys eat anything there?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I did.
Like a burger or something?
I forget what we ate, but it was good.
Yeah, I think
I remember that was a nice break. And then how many of us ended up making it all the way to Jeff City? How many were there, do you know, at that point?
So we started with 12. We lost Amos, Mary Beth, Mark, and Rylan, I think. So what is that, 9 people?
Was it still that many? That's a lot, I feel like. I guess that's right, though.
I think so. I mean, let's just do a quick head count. We had us 4. We had Phil, Aaron Walker, Mucho.
And Bailey?
Phil. It was Phil.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so what did that add up to, 8 or 9?
Something like that.
Anyway. So, yeah, anyway, we did roll into Jeff City, and my goodness, the food was, oh, my goodness, so good. Sam made us, what was that stuff?
It was fajitas or something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
It was really good.
It's 5 in the morning here, and I could go for some of that right now.
So we pulled into Jefferson City, if I recall, right around 9 o'clock, maybe 9:15. It was dark at this time. I think it was getting dark. And we just sort of set up under a pavilion right beside the trail, right?
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so we should mention we started riding about 7:30 in the morning, and we're about the 130-mile mark when we get into Jeff City, I think.
No.
I thought it was 120.
Oh, 120.
Caleb, what do you think?
Like yes, it was something like that. Because I remember, like, the end of our first day was, like, 130 miles or something. Isn't that right?
I think ended up being 150, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, actually.
Yeah. So can I just say, I was really happy to make it to Jefferson City. I was happy to get a meal. And, of course, the expectation was, okay, we're going to, you know, get some sleep and rest up for tomorrow, and we'll do it in 48 hours. And I think Amos or somebody said, hey, I've got a studio. We can sleep in the studio. I'm just starting to really look forward to this. Full night. And then I don't know if it was Tim or Caleb, but one of them said, you know, I think I might just keep riding. And I was like, oh, come on. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Here, go ahead.
So at Cooper's Landing, there was like a couple people that were like, yeah, I kind of want to get a good night's sleep. And Tim and Caleb were like, I don't know if we're doing that. So I think me and Mucho talked them to like 3 hours of sleep at Jefferson City. And so when we get to Jefferson City, we're like, oh, at last, we get 3 hours. And Tim and Caleb threw up the idea. They're like, oh, let's just keep going. And my heart just like sank.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking football, if we keep, it's dark. And second of all, it's going to be freezing because the temperature was plunging that night. It was going to get really cold. And I says, what are we going to do if we're halfway between here and St. Charles and we're freezing to death in the dark? And I think Tim's response was, well, yeah, that's part of the fun.
It's actually so funny looking back now because all the like red flags and concerns that we had were like definitely valid, but we just kind of ignored them and rolled with it. And they came back to bite us later, but I'm not mad that they did because it makes for such a fun memory. But anyway, let's get into what happened. So we're sitting there eating these fajitas, enjoying life. And it was, I'm convinced, I'm pretty sure Caleb, it was you who was like, dude, we got to keep riding. Like, because we had talked about it before, like, it'd be fun to just ride through the night. But when we got there, I was feeling kind of like sleeping too, you know? But Caleb's like, right. No, man, we got to ride through the night. And I was like, all right, dude, if you're gonna ride through the night, I'll go with you, you know? So I kind of committed to that. And I don't remember if it was Judah or Caleb who said, well, if you guys are going, I'm going to go with you. I think it was Judah.
No, so it was Mucho who said when Tim and you were, like, saying, yeah, let's go. Mucho was like, I was like, if Mucho goes, I'm going. If he stays, I'm going. Because he was, like, the only other guy that was struggling, I feel like. So I was like, if Mucho's going, I'm going. So it really was like up to him, really.
And Mucho said, well, heck, I'll ride with you guys. He's like, you guys sound crazy, but I'll go.
Yeah.
I remember everybody was like, their wheels were turning. They're like, oh boy, what do I do now? So one by one, everybody either says, okay, I guess I'll go with you guys, or else they dropped out and called somebody to come get them and pick them up.
Yeah. And so, Dad, I think, for you, once you had those four that said, we're going to go, I know you didn't want to, but you were like, well, I want to keep riding tomorrow, you know? So I guess I'll tag along with these guys.
Part of my dilemma was, you know, I thought about calling Mom to have her come get me, but there were several factors. She was really behind on sleep to begin with. She had already driven how many miles that day, and she would have had to bring me back the next morning to have me continue. So there's no way I was going to call Mom. But then I had no way to sleep. I had no sleeping bag. I'm out in the elements. So I was like, this is crazy. I mean, I did that.
We kind of put you in a tough situation, to be honest.
Well, yeah, tell me about it. There's no way I wanted to keep riding my bike at that point. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do the most foolish thing I've ever done in my life. I'm going to go with this guy.
And wasn't it so fun?
Oh, well, type two fun, that's for sure. Oh, boy.
So, and that's, this is kind of the type of moments that I'm talking about, that I want to do this similar trip again, but I want to change these things, because that way the whole group can hopefully stay together, and we have a plan of what we're going to do, you know, hey, we're going to stay at Amos's flat or whatever, and that way everybody knows, and nobody gets left behind next time. So this one was a little bit more of a challenge. Someday I want to do another one of these trips where it's just like a camp off your bike, let's have fun and chill. So just throwing that out there, because I feel bad about how some of that stuff turned out. But anyway.
Well, I think everybody had a good time. But so anyway, there were five of us who rode away from Jeff City on our bikes. All the others, I think, got a ride back to Columbia or wherever they were from, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it was maybe 9:45 p.m. or maybe 10 when we started rolling away from Jeff City. Yeah.
Yeah. We only stayed at Jeff City for about an hour. And me and Mucho were like, what are we doing?
And to be fair, you guys were right. I mean, it was dark. So we had we had three lights between the five of us, I think. And we were thinking, man, to make these lights last the whole night, we're gonna have to run one at a time.
Which was crazy. I mean, so we had a light behind us, but our own shadow got in the way. We couldn't even see where we were going.
I remember there was this one point, and it wasn't even, it was probably halfway through from where we started riding that night to where we stopped. There was this like little construction thing right in front of this bridge, so they had two T-posts or something that were drove into the trail, and they were, you know, just wide enough to get your bike through. And I remember, I think I might have been in the front or the middle somewhere, and I remember seeing it, like, we're like 5 feet from it, you know, going 11 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, it's narrow. Like, I just yell like a warning. And like, hopefully. Well,
I must have been right behind you, Tim, because I almost ran. I think my shoulder rammed into that post. Oh, and I was like, gosh. Came out of nowhere.
Oh, it's so crazy, yeah. Man.
After a while, didn't we turn off the lights because they were just not useful? I think we did.
I think we tried it for a while.
That's when you were sleeping, Julie. Your eyes were
No, that was Caleb.
No, so like I remember, like we had left Jeff City. We'd probably ridden like 10 miles, and I was like, I started to feel super tired. I was like, this is already such a bad idea. And so we're like riding. I'm riding side by side with Judah, and occasionally I feel myself like awaken, and I'm like mangled in Judah's bicycle.
Yeah. So we're riding along, and I'm kind of like dazed out too, but not falling asleep. And Caleb, I would just see him.
I just like swerve into it.
Swerve occasionally. Oh, and this one time, he came from the other side and he just ran right into me. Okay. I'm like, what are you doing?
So, Caleb, were you falling asleep on the bike?
Yeah, I was just like nodding off and I was just running into Judah.
Yeah, I remember that actually.
And at this point, I was just freezing cold. I mean, I was tired, but that was not my main problem. I was just freezing, shivering cold on the bike.
It was really cold.
It was in the 40s, actually, like 44 degrees or something.
And who was it? I think it was Mucho. No, Mucho's. Somebody gave me their coat because they weren't going to use it. They were heading back to Columbia. So had I not had that extra coat, you guys
would probably have lost. Guys,
oh, yeah, I wasn't even on planning on bringing a coat. And my mom saw me with no coat when we were at the start. And she's like, Judah, you need a coat. You should probably take this one. And I grab it out of the car. I'm like, whatever, I'm not going to use it. So, okay. Little did I know that would save my life later.
Oh, it's so funny. I watched that interaction. Your mom was like, Judah, you need to bring a coat. And you were like, I don't need one. Like, you're like, I'm good. And I think Caleb was actually like, Judah, grab the coat. It was so funny. Oh, man. But anyway, dude, when you like fell asleep and ran into Judah, I was right in front of you guys, and I just could hear like your spokes hitting each other. Like,
not good.
And I was like, what the heck? And Judah, I remember Judah going, hey, get off me or something. And I was like, what are you guys doing back there? And Caleb's like, oh, sorry, guys, I fell asleep. And I was like, what? I was like, you fell asleep? I was like, we've got to get off this trail.
Yeah, I didn't know it at the time, but when Caleb hit me, he actually bent my rim. And later, like a month after we did the Katy Trail, I found out that like 3 of my spokes were missing.
Oh, my God.
Off my bike. From that.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's crazy. But yeah, anyway, at that point I was like, everybody's freezing, we're tired, we can't see, we almost all 5 of us ran into this T-post. I was like, I think we gotta stop.
Well, yeah, we had stopped at one of those, like they have pavilions every 10 miles or something, so we had like pulled off to this little pavilion and we like checked the map to see where we were and stuff, and everyone was like, I just don't think we can like continue on like this tonight. And so do you want to tell this next part?
No, go for it, you're good.
Basically, like, we're all like freezing cold, we stop, we get off the bikes, and like all the sweat already like turns cold or whatever, and you're like freezing.
Okay.
and like everyone's like, all right, I guess we just try and fall asleep and then in the morning we'll keep going. And so I tried to fall asleep on the bench, and I think people tried to like sleep on the ground or like next to a tree or something. Mucho and Judah were cuddling with their bikes somewhere else, but like after like 10 minutes, I think everyone was like, yeah, this is just not sustainable for a long period of time. And we all kind of locked eyes with the restroom. I don't know who went in there first, but everyone just, yeah, I think someone went in there first, and everyone just like swarmed in there, and we all huddled inside. It was
so. Let's paint the picture here. This is just a tiny little bathroom along the side of the Katy Trail in Portland. I think it was Portland, Missouri, which there's just nothing there.
Yeah.
At this point, what was it? 12:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. Maybe 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we had ridden 150 miles, and we piled into the bathroom.
Yeah, I remember before getting to that bathroom, we passed the pavilion before that one, and I could have sworn that was the longest 20 miles of my life. It was like, it had to be, I was like, how have we not gone this far yet? It was horrible. That was one of the, yeah.
There's just a little rant on that section of trail.
No, I actually agree with that, though. It was like 12 miles from the previous one to that one. And we're like, okay, let's crank this 12 miles out real quick and see where we're at. And so we rode for what felt like, you know, 12 miles. And I was like, all right, let's see how far we've gone. And we'd gone like a mile and a half. I was like, how is that possible? But, dude, that bathroom might have saved us, to be honest, because we went in. It was one of those, you know. It was one of those like vault toilets with a concrete floor, and it sounds kind of nasty, but man,
it was like only barely slightly warmer in there too. Like it wasn't even that much warmer.
It was to the point though where, you know, if somebody got up in the middle of the night to pee and they opened the door, you were like, shut that door.
Oh yeah.
Well, and just here again to give people some idea, there were five of us, and I think there was only room for four people to lay on the floor at one time.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And Mucho is like wrapped around the toilet. Yeah.
I remember being like pinned to the ground, no escape, for hours on end, not able to move at all.
Oh, dude, I was, like, pinned against the back wall, and my legs were, like, jammed into the toilet. Like, not in the bowl, but in the side of the toilet. It was terrible. Oh, man. But I slept a little bit. Did everybody sleep except for Dad?
I barely got any sleep. Yeah. I barely got any sleep.
Oh, you guys seem to be sleeping pretty well, if you ask me. So there was a time I tried to lay down on the concrete floor. And it was just so freezing. The concrete. I mean, I was just shivering. My whole body was just shaking.
Oh yeah, I long.
Oh, I found it long. I just finally stood up, and I just leaned my forehead against the wall, and I just waited for the dawn.
Judah, what were you saying?
All night, at least I know, I was profusely shivering all night long, like. Freezing without that jacket. Oh man, it would have been a different story.
I think we all were just like shivering even while we slept. We were just like just shivering. So
guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the intention when we first went into the bathroom was just to maybe sleep for an hour, rest a little, and then resume our ride. Was that the intention?
Yeah, I mean,
we were just trying to like get a little shut eye of rest and then like keep going on our way.
Yeah, I'd say so. We were all freezing, and Caleb was falling asleep. So I was like, okay, we need to get in this bathroom, warm up a little bit, you know, maybe get a few calories, get some shut-eye. That way Caleb's not falling asleep and running into Judah, and then we'll keep going. But once we got in there, dude.
Like, no one wanted to go back out. Like, no one even wanted to open the door or anything.
Oh, man.
And here's my mentality at that point. I thought you guys were really going to rest about an hour or so and then go. And I had made up my mind, I'm not going with them. I was just going to stay in the bathroom by myself the rest of the night and wait till 7 in the morning and call Tammy and have her come get me. That was my plan. And you guys just stayed in the bathroom. You never left. And I was like, okay. And I really thought my ride was over. I thought for sure, I guess I didn't do it. I didn't make it to St. Charles. And I couldn't believe you guys were still in the bathroom all night long. So I was like, oh, boy.
I think, I don't know, this might be TMI, but I don't know if it was in the morning or, like, at night. The whole thing runs together. But at one point, Dale gets up to go to the bathroom, and he, like, it's all dark in there. So he pulls his pants down, just sits on the toilet, and starts, like, plotting our plan for the next morning.
Instantly.
Hold on. And he goes, like, just like, guys, what do we do? He's just like, I just like couldn't take him seriously. I was like, Dale.
Immediately got hotter.
Yeah, it was just like the most mental thing I've ever experienced.
It was hilarious too. It was hilarious too because there's no way any of us were leaving that bathroom. You know,
no, none of us were gonna move at all.
It's like, if you wanted to use the bathroom, you either had to do it in there or outside. Like, we weren't getting out for you.
No.
But anyway, we slept or didn't sleep until it was light. We shivered our way through the night, and it got light outside. And at that point, honestly, we almost didn't keep going even at that point. Because it was...
Well, we had 90 miles left, right, Tim?
Yes. Yeah, we were at 150. Yeah. We had 90 left. And for whatever reason, when it's cold and you're tired, like, stuff creeps into your mind about stopping, you know?
Yeah, I do.
And it's like your brain tricks you into thinking that it's a good idea. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but, like, I remember in that moment at, like, 6:45 in the morning in that bathroom, I was like, you know, this was a fun ride. I would say this was a success. Let's just all quit and, you know, go home, take a bath, warm up, you know. And I don't know what convinced us to keep going, but something did, and I'm glad we did.
Well, I think we all just knew, like, we'd regret it if we didn't at least try to keep going. So, I don't know. Tammy pulled up early in the morning, and we got some food in us, and she let us warm up in the truck with all, like, six of us. We're just crammed in the truck trying to get warm. And we, like, downed some Gatorade or something, and it made it easier to start, but it was tough trying to get going that morning.
Yeah, I remember getting on the bike, and it was, like, dew. And I sat on the bike, and my butt was so sore, and I was shivering. And I was like, oh, no, how far can I go? I did not think I had it in me to finish at all.
Yeah, for me, personally, honestly, the low point of the ride wasn't even the outhouse. It was the next 30 miles that next morning because it was still really cold. And I guess I was still recovering from that ultra that spring because it was only 3 weeks after. But my knee was, like, killing me for those next 30 miles. So I was having trouble even getting my bike to move.
Yeah, I remember that. Boy, Tim, you were hurting bad. You were just going so slow. And, yeah, I felt bad for you.
I honestly thought I was going to get dropped. Like, I was like, you guys just keep going. You know, I'll finish Monday morning if I have to, you know. Yeah.
But you did keep going, and somehow you went through, you powered through that pain. It went away eventually, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It never went away completely, but it felt 10 times better in the afternoon than it did in the morning. I think part of that might have just been temperature, like warmed up a little bit, loosened up that joint. I don't know.
Yeah. But I was freezing that morning once we got going again, and it took me maybe 3 or 4 hours. The sun came up. Fortunately, it was a sunny day, and finally, when the sun hit us, oh, it felt so good. I finally warmed up a little.
That ride was just such a funny experience. You guys remember eating at that place with the smoothies or whatever? This was maybe, you know, mile 200 or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we stopped at this place and got, like, a bite to eat the next, like, mid-morning, maybe like 11:30 or something the next morning, or maybe even later, 1 in the afternoon. I don't know. But this guy had, like, a little restaurant thing that he ran, so we ordered a couple things, like a sandwich and a smoothie or something. And he's like, you know, how far have you guys gone so far? And we're like, I don't know, let me check the watch. We're like, yeah, we've gone 200. And he's like, what? Because we're all on, like, metal, you know, the heavy bikes, and I don't know, it was pretty funny. He was nice, though. He took our picture.
Yeah.
So how did Sunday go for everybody else? What was the general mindset once we got rolling and loosened up a little bit? It just it felt a little bit quieter than the day before.
Like, everyone knew we were in for a massive day. Like, everyone was just trying to, like, settle in and, like, just keep on pedaling, basically. Like, it was, for me, it was like a grind from start to finish the second day. It was like every mile felt like 10 miles. It was just brutal the entire day, basically.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll say this real quick, and then I want to hear from Judah. Caleb, I would watch you. You would stand up and pedal for maybe 10 seconds, and then you would stop pedaling. And you spent 90% of the time standing up on your pedal.
My butt was so sore. It just felt so good to get out of the saddle and stand up. That's what I was doing, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Judah, how did you feel Sunday, the second day?
It was kind of same as Caleb, kind of just like hunker down and grind your way out, basically. But yeah.
So, Dad, you mentioned earlier that you were most impressed by Mary Beth on this ride.
Well, and Judah too.
I was going to say, for me, honestly, three people come to mind: Mary Beth, Judah, and Mucho. Mucho was strong, dude.
My goodness, he was strong. Yes.
He was strong. He, throughout the day, I mean, it's not to say that he didn't have his struggles like everybody else, but he just looked like a biker the whole time. You never, like, looked over at Mucho and you're like, oh, man, he's going to drop soon, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never saw him struggling at all.
Yeah, he rocked it. But anyway, as the day progressed, I would agree, it was kind of just like, man, I'm ready to get off this trail, and the miles just went slower and slower. You know, the more you think about how far you have to go, the farther it takes to get there, it seems. Dad, how are you feeling?
You know, I felt really good Sunday morning. Once,
of course.
Without having any sleep, I just was convinced I was going to have a miserable day, but it turned out to be really a good day for me. Now, the closer we got to St. Charles, I was ready to be done with the ride. But overall, I felt pretty good. But out of everybody, I had the best bike. I had a lightweight bike. It was a gravel bike. It was designed for that kind of thing, long distance riding. And I just really felt good the second day, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember throughout the ride, especially on the first day, I'd say, you know, we were setting a reasonable pace, but it wasn't fast, and it was just killing you because you wanted to go faster.
Yes, I think my default speed was a little bit faster than everybody's. I just like to ride a little faster, I guess. But it's probably good I didn't. I would have burned myself out, I'm sure.
Yeah, but you pulled a lot too.
So our average pace for the whole ride was what, probably about 11 and a half or 12 miles per hour?
11 and a half, probably, yeah. What do you say, Caleb?
I think it was 11 something, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we ended up getting into St. Charles, which is very near the end, and we stopped there and got a little bite to eat, and it's the last 12 miles here. So we know we're going to make it to this point Sunday afternoon, and we're rolling through. What were you guys' thoughts then on that last section?
Go ahead, Judah.
So, we would all, like, take turns, like, pulling against the wind. So, the section before St. Charles, I pulled, and I don't know what hit me, but I felt, like, great. So, I, like, pushed it probably too hard. And when I got to St. Charles, I was dead. I immediately laid down, and I was like, this is going to be a rough 13 miles, and I did not want to finish at all, but obviously I knew I was going to.
Yeah, so, like, we all get to St. Charles, and we knew it was, like, our final. Like, it was the last time we would see, like, Tammy there. Like, it was our last stop. Everyone could basically taste the finish line. We're like, we did it. We just have this small section left. And, like, it was a good last 12 miles, to be honest. Like, it was like we did it, and it was like the accomplishment and, like, success was, like, basically hitting in during that time. So it was a good last section.
I would say for me that last section was maybe the hardest. I was just kind of tired, ready to be done. Just my bottom. I had abrasions on my bottom. Oh my goodness, my bottom is sore. So I was really ready to be done. I'm getting tired. And can I just say this real quick? But all, you know, both days I felt overall pretty good. So I was thinking, okay, this last stretch, this last maybe 5 or 10 miles, I'm just going to let loose. I've been wanting to go fast. I'm just going to let her rip, and I'm going to go. So the last stretch, Tim and Mucho decided to sort of hang right behind me. Well, Tim, you explain how it went down.
Well, I was actually kind of grumpy because I know Judah was feeling good, and I'm glad Judah was feeling good, but the last two sections before that just felt a little fast to me, and I wasn't feeling that great, so I was just kind of grumpy about it. You know, we were going like 13 and a half, and I was wanting to go 11 at that point and just chill to the finish, you know, So I was like, oh, I was kind of grumbling, like, why are we going so fast? And, you know, I was getting grumpy. And then Dad goes on this thing about, hey, I have an idea, guys. Let's push it really hard this last 12 miles. And I was like, I don't want to do that. You know, I was kind of grumpy. But he and Mucho decided that they were going to go. And I made a last minute decision. I was like, well, if they're only going to go like 16, I'll just see if I can like hang on one of their tires and go with them, you know?
So I start, and I'm going, you know, at this point I started going fast, maybe 18 miles per hour. And I didn't actually feel as good as I thought I was going to feel. After a little while, I just ease off, and then I was going to let Mucho get in front of me and break the wind for me. So sure enough, Mucho comes in front of me, and then I didn't even know Tim was behind us, and then Tim's right there. So Tim is right behind Mucho, and those guys, the two of them just take off, and I'm just eating their dust. And at this point, I'm just done. I'm tired. I have nothing left. And I cannot tell you how fast those guys went. They finished the next 8 miles at a 20-mile-per-hour pace. I couldn't believe it.
And that was just me hanging on to Mucho. That's what I was saying. I'm so impressed. He's so strong. Because I could tell when you were pulling, you guys were at a pretty good pace, but I could tell he was just – chomping at the bit, like, I kind of want to go a little bit faster. So as soon as you said, hey, how about you take a turn, I switched two gears up because I knew he was gonna just fly, and I just hung on his wheel.
Yeah. Anyway, so hey, the five of us made it to the finish, didn't we?
Yep it was fun.
We did.
It was like a random, like, super glad to have made it to the finish, but for me it felt like a tiny bit anticlimactic because, like, you know, nobody was really there except for Mark to pick the guys up. And John Mark, I should mention, had like a bad wreck on his e-bike that day. It was in the ER. Oh, yeah. So it's kind of like, well, let's go check on him for those guys. And I was just like, yeah, I'm just ready to get home. Mom was there to pick us up. She was the absolute lifesaver of the weekend. So,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. It was fun.
So I should say Mom deserves a badge for what she did. She told me at one time, I think she drove the truck over 500 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
Just from one little town along the river to another. And, you know, you have to go way out of your way to get to another town.
Right.
She didn't know exactly where we were, so she had to just guess. And, you know, she did a great job supporting us.
Oh, yeah. She did amazing.
But, yeah, I was glad that we had made it to the finish. And I was curious to know for you guys, was there any, like, takeaways for this trip or things that you learned about yourself or learned about other people or would do differently? I guess any takeaways is a good way of putting it. I'll just leave it open.
Well, I took away two scars, one on each cheek. I still have scars. I was abrased so bad. But that's not what you have in mind.
Yeah.
Well, that was good, I guess. But
I would say for me, it's like, I never pushed myself that hard, and seeing like that I could actually like do that, it was like, what's next? Like, how can I push myself now? And the feeling of like finishing that was like it's like addicting to me anyway.
That's super
Judah,
cool.
I'm so proud of you. You did so well. You really did.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm super proud of you, Judah. I was very impressed the whole time. You looked strong out there, and you were on a mountain bike. And I was just super impressed by the way you dug deep and finished. And I think, dude, I agree. Like, when you do these challenges where you push yourself and have to experience a level of discomfort, it honestly just makes you want more for some reason. Like, you're like, all right, what's next, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Caleb, anything from you?
I know, basically, similar thing. Like, we crossed the entire state of Missouri, basically, in, like, what was it, 36 hours, close to, or something like that.
Yep, right.
And it was just, like, we had set this goal, and we kind of blew it out of the water, and, like, we had some highs and lows along the way, but we did it, and, like, we made our goal, and it was just accomplishment, and, I don't know, it was just a good feeling. I thoroughly enjoyed the ride, and it was cool finishing. It was, the finishing group was cool. It was, like we all just hung in there and we got it done, and it was fun.
And I will admit that every time I think of that bathroom, I do laugh inside of myself. So I'll admit, now that there's been some time elapsed. That was a fun time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But man, was it miserable! Oh my goodness. Yeah. But I'll say this: I really enjoyed just the camaraderie, the fellowship, the friends, the cousins. It's just a real good way to bond with other people, especially when you're suffering together. To be honest,
yeah.
When you're accomplishing something difficult together, and there's a lot to be said for that. So I really am thankful for the experience. I really am.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm super glad that many people showed up and everybody was just accomplishing their goals or coming close or whatever, blowing them out of the water. I thought it was fun to see everybody. And even like we mentioned Amos early on in the ride, I was so proud of him too because, you know, he had a goal set in mind and he didn't stop till he got there. So I just thought that was cool too. With that being said, maybe sometime in the future, probably in 2025, we'll do something like this again, but it'll be a little bit better planned out, and it won't be quite as go, go, go. It'll be a little bit more fun, I think.
You know, I was going to say there was one fellow, Jesse, who wanted really badly to ride with us, and something came up at the last minute. He couldn't. It was Jesse, right?
It was more Will than Jesse, but Will and Jesse both.
That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so even shortly after we finished this Katy Trail bike ride, there was already some talk of doing it again, and I think it'd be fun to do it again, maybe in a more casual way, and just have a bunch of people join us. I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Like do like 50 miles a day for 3 days or something, like a 3-day weekend. That's kind of what I have in mind, and then camp off the bikes or something.
Anyway, if you guys are listening, let us know if you're interested in being a part of that.
Yeah, please. And any other takeaways before we wrap this one up? We're almost at an hour, so pretty long for my podcast.
I think that's it for me.
Yep.
Judah, Caleb, you guys good?
Yep.
Okay, well, thanks, guys, so much for hopping on. The homework, I guess, would be consider reaching out to me if you're interested in that. Probably won't be till 2025, to be honest, but think ahead a little bit.
And, mark your calendars.
Yeah, mark your calendar. It's already filling up, you know, so. But thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.